Good morning and welcome to City Matters. I'm Tom Davis. It is 9:30 and we've got the whole gang in here with our city manager, Mike Bailey, our city clerk, Jason Munninger, also Terry Larson with the water utilities director, and fresh from the library, our library director, Shelley McGill. It's cozy in here today, guys and gals.
Good morning, Tom. You know, I always have to bring my posse.
Yes, you do. Yeah,
they beg to be on the show.
They do.
I mean, if I let everybody on that wanted to be on, there just wouldn't be room for everybody.
There you go. You got to start charging admission.
They really look forward to this.
I sure do.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. What do we have going on? Lots, I know that.
Well, we had a lot of stuff going on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, of course, is that I believe it was Saturday, was Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in December 7th of 1941, of course, that marks the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii by the Japanese, which actually kind of marked the entrance of the United States into World War II. So just take a moment there and think back on that, and I appreciate all the veterans and their service. I don't know that we have a whole lot of our World War II veterans left with us, but there's still some, and truly appreciate their service and their sacrifice during that. But then I think on a little bit of a happier note, on the same day we had the Christmas parade.
That was a lot of fun.
It is always a great event, and it was sort of a sort of a special day for me, probably for all of us, that. Ed Gordon, the former city manager, was the grand marshal of the parade. And, of course, Ed had some health issues, and so it really sort of it marked his full comeback. And we were excited to see that he was involved in that. And I know that I do, and I'm sure everybody in this room misses him a ton. We love him, and we're glad to see him out there. But it was a great parade with the police and the fire department and the former city manager. And
it was a great show. Very colorful, too.
Yeah.
Uptown was lit up really nicely.
They always do a great job. And also on Friday, they had the grand opening of Christmas in the Ville and did the opening of the rink. And my son and I went out. He's too old to think that's really all that cool anymore, but even he kind of enjoyed it. So
it's a really nice setup, and if you haven't gotten out there this weekend, folks, you got to do it. It's really sweet.
It truly does get better every year.
It does.
It's a great atmosphere, and it was a lot of fun. I saw our police chief handing out Santa hats. He tried to get me to wear one, but I noticed that he wasn't wearing one, so I gave him mine, which sort of ended the whole back and forth of the Santa hats. But Friday was a great night for that, and it was impressive the amount of people they had out in the community. I don't know if any of you all managed to make it out, but it was absolutely shoulder to shoulder. So that was great to see, and hopefully they have another great year. That was something that the community had expressed an interest in, was having a skating rink. I think years ago we started talking about it. In fact, there was a set of projects that was being called the Five for Five. It was five projects for $5 million that would help downtown Bartlesville. Of course, the city couldn't do all of them, and the chamber stepped up and actually did this one. They do that with donations and with some chamber funds, and they've done an amazing job, and we're very grateful that they've filled that role.
Hats off to them, because it really looks good. We were there Sunday, and a lot of people.
Neat place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm trying to think back to when our last council meeting was. Is that a week ago?
That was a week ago.
Yeah. Week ago Monday. So we hadn't been in since then. We had a donation, which probably, I think, was it Councilmember Curd that was on last
year? Yes, he talked about that.
I think he talked a little bit about it, but we had another donation to the Tower Center. Truity provided another $10,000 to that project. And we have raised, I think, over $560,000 now.
That's a lot.
That has been put toward that. It's been fantastic.
A lot of goodwill.
The citizens of Bartlesville voted for that initially for $1.75 million, which honestly would have built a great park. But throwing on that additional fundraising, it will be an unmatched facility in this area. We're very excited about it. Terry Lauritsen is the project manager for that for the city of Bartlesville, and it has undergone a number of changes through its early life cycle here as we've accepted donations, and we've just had a lot of interest, and we're very excited about it. So Thank you again to Truity and to all of our other donors. Just a quick look down the list. We've received donations from ConocoPhillips, Phillips 66, Parsons Foundation, RVS Foundation, Ascension St. John's, Ascension St. John Jane Phillips, the Curd family, American Heritage Bank, Leadership Bartlesville Class 27, and the Bartlesville Young Professionals. So that's in all the years that I've been doing this, I've never seen that degree of public interest in it. So we're very excited about it.
Very good.
And let's see what else we have on the list that happened in the last week. The council did do some bid awards. This was last Monday. So these are projects that the citizens can expect to start seeing here anytime. Price Fields, we did an award on that. This is, I believe, phase three, right, Terry?
Phase three.
Yeah. And this will do those middle fields. It's the largest phase that we've done so far. It really will be, this will make that into a great facility. The two north quads are in great shape, but this will redo the middle of it, which are used by the older kids. And the council also awarded the Woodland Road rehab, so that should get started anytime. That's a concrete rehab. And then we also awarded the design services for the Quail Place Tributary, and this is, I guess you probably don't notice that it's a problem unless it's in your backyard, but we have a very large underground system that's starting to starting to deteriorate and creating some sinkholes down around the Quail Place. Or no, I'm sorry, this is actually a different one. This is the one that is actually, this one's all above ground here, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. So this is a very large above ground system that wasn't built to the size that it needed to be back when it was originally built, probably the 60s or 70s would be my guess. So this will allow us to alleviate some flooding for a pretty substantial area there. So that's another great project. Free leaf and grass pickup starts today. So we've been talking about it for a month. Hopefully everybody had plenty of notice, but it is this week. It's on your normal pickup day. Just put out all your leaves, and we will come by and get those, set them out separate from your polycart, and we'll pick them all up for free. One other thing that's going on, and we've talked a little bit about it, but there is a company called Recyclops, and they have no association with the city of Bartlesville.
None whatsoever.
The reason that we're talking about it is because that in the solid waste survey that we did, the citizens expressed an interest in having recycling, and it was about 70% of the respondents expressed an interest in doing recycling, but only about half the respondents expressed an interest in paying for it. That complicates it for us, of course. This is a solution where those who are willing to pay for it can sign up. And again, it has nothing to do with the city. We didn't ask them to come to town, but it just so happens that they saw that survey and they contacted us. And then they started contacting citizens and using Facebook. And I think they're almost at the amount they need to start collecting. I think they have to have 500 people signed up, and those people also have to have provided billing information. So that, I think that was really the snag. They had almost 500 that they had signed up, but everybody, they have to have 500 with billing information as well. So, but that continues on. Feel free, if you are interested in recycling, it's $10 a month. The more people that sign up, actually, the cheaper it gets. So it starts at $10 a month. And probably the final thing before I'll turn this over to all the staff that are here with me, is that the city council has been considering projects for an election that likely will be next April. That's not been decided and won't be decided until the council actually calls that. But we started the process of collecting those projects. At this point in time, city staff has put together a list of projects that we're recommending being included. We presented that to the council on Monday. The city council then will directed the there's two committees that prioritize projects for this as well. One of those is the park board and one of those is street traffic committee. Mm-hmm. They directed them to actually do that prioritization. And then all of that will come back to the city council for a workshop in January. So if the citizens have any interest in a project in particular, at this point in time, it would be good to reach out to your city council member. And in fact, the city council and the mayor have expressed an interest in meeting with citizens, anybody who has an opinion on what they would like to see in there. So, and for that, you can reach out to Elaine Baines. That's 918-338-4282. And she'll help coordinate a day and time that you can meet with your council member and talk to them about that. So I think this is a great opportunity to have your voice heard. If you don't share your ideas now, then you can't complain that they weren't included in there later. So, but again, that's a great opportunity. That process, we typically will have an election about every 3 years. This one will be fairly unique in that we will be doing a GO bond, which we do every 3 years, and we'll be doing also a sales tax for capital that we do about every 5 years. So they just happen to align. That creates an opportunity for about $30 million worth of projects. So I can't remember the last time we had that many, if we've ever had that large of an election. And it'll actually be multiple ballot issues. I think we've done this one other time where we had both of them together. So in 2008, we had something similar to this with both of those. And again, great opportunity to really set the direction for the city's capital plan for infrastructure here in Bartlesville. So feel free to reach out if you have any ideas, anybody who's listening that's interested. And I think with that, that's actually the end of my list here. And I will I'll turn this over to Jason Munninger. I think we just got our latest sales tax information this morning from the state of Oklahoma.
We did, and it was a good month.
Had a little bit of good news for once. For once, we've had a lot of good news lately,
which
is good.
We've been slowly trickling in, you know, a percentage here and there increase over the prior year. This month happened to be pretty close to 5% up from this time collected last year.
Well, that's pretty fantastic, especially considering that these months, typically January and February are our largest, but December is also one of our largest.
And yes.
Has a lot to do with the holiday shopping season.
It does. I think everybody's getting an early jump out there to their holiday buying. So.
Well, that's good news. So we're up about 5% for this
month. Yeah, so our overall collections were up 4.92%. If we throw in our sales tax TIF with the Silver Lake Shopping Village, we're up 5.05%, which equates to about $78,000 up over the prior year's collection. And we're currently sitting at about $242,000 up over budget anticipation.
How does that put us for the year, Jason, as far as a percentage?
Percentage, we are up 2.57%.
So about 2.6% for the year that we're over. And, of course, that's over, the first 6 months from last year. So
you're absolutely correct.
Halfway through the year, we are well ahead of last year.
$240,000.
And for our budget, all we did was that we estimated that this year would be the same as last year, right?
Absolutely.
So every time we come in ahead of last year, we're not only ahead of last year, we're ahead of our budget expectations. Exactly. And that, one more time, what was that dollar amount that we're at?
$242,160.
So $242,000, and for the listener's perspective who don't deal with this on a daily basis, what do we normally bring in sales tax?
It fluctuates a little bit, obviously, but somewhere around $18 million between the three dedicated sales taxes.
So at this point in time, we expect we'd have somewhere near $9 million, and we're up $240,000 over that. So that's good news. It's good news for the citizens of Bartlesville. And frankly, we have them to thank because that means that they
shopping local.
Are shopping local. Absolutely. We several years ago, the state, there was a federal case first, and the state worked with them. And so that for internet sales tax. And unfortunately, internet sales tax is not a sales tax, is it?
It's a use tax.
It's a use tax. And Bartlesville, Oklahoma does not have a use tax.
Well, for 99% of the communities in Oklahoma, it's great.
That's right, yeah. We have a very different tax structure here, and for a lot of reasons, but primarily dealing for economic development reasons, we've never implemented a use tax. That means we're not getting
We're losing that on the internet sales for sure.
So that's why shopping local is so critical.
Really is. It's our lifeblood to services we provide for the citizens.
So, all right. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. And you actually had good news for me. I appreciate you doing that.
Rare sometimes,
you didn't have to lie to me to make me happy. You can tell me the truth this morning. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning.
And Shelley, of course, is our library and museum director and former HR director. She's been with the city. How long have you been with the city now?
30 years this year.
30 years. Good grief. That's pretty impressive. So congratulations on your 30th year. So I'll see you at the next service banquet for your 30 year.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
In your newest role, I know you've got some things going on at the library. And first off, I will tell you that since Shelley has taken over, the Barbersville Library has become sort of a model for a lot of the things that libraries are now doing. Libraries, of course, traditionally were only about books and focused a lot of times, I think, on youth. And you all still accomplish those goals, but you also have a lot of other things that go on. And in fact, you have become sort of the literacy center, literacy education center for Bartlesville for non-traditional students. And so I think you had some news about literacy.
I do. I wanted to tell everyone about the literacy fundraiser we're having week after next. And the city provides a lot of the support for our literacy department, but we have several employees that work through grants. And we know that grant funding is sketchy at best some days. And so we are trying to get together a fund so that when our grants come in lower, and that happens regularly, that we'll have some funds to draw upon to keep those employees employed. So December 19th through the 21st, we're having a baked goods fundraiser. On all three of those days, we're having fun stuff to do. Like on the 19th, we're having baking demonstrations from Chef Miller. She is making divinity and all kinds of goodies that you can come and watch her do and observe. And then you can actually taste them and buy them if you want to for the fundraiser. So she's doing demonstrations at 11, 12, 1, and 2. Chef Sandy is coming the next day, and she's making different items at the same times. And that evening, Santa Claus will be there telling stories from 5 to 7. And then on Saturday from 10 to 4, Santa will be there for the parents to come in and let the kids sit on Santa's lap and take pictures and just have a good day at the library. But the library is having several other events that I also wanted to highlight, if I've got just a moment.
Absolutely.
We are having, one of the needs that we heard from our community is that a lot of the students that want to go to college, it becomes difficult navigating FAFSA and all the tests and what you need to put in your entrance applications. And so tomorrow evening from 7 to 8, we're having a program called Show Me the Money, which is how to apply for FAFSA and when you should do that and how you should do that. On Thursday evening, we're having a Which Test is Best, and it kind of guides you through the different tests that you can take and which ones might be best for the degree you're going to school for. And then next Tuesday from 7 to 8 is you're only halfway done when the test is won. So it tells you what to put on your entrance applications, the things that will help you get that acceptance that you're looking for. So we're helping our community get that college in. And then I'm just going to highlight just a couple other items that are going on.
Go right ahead.
Tomorrow we're having an essential oils class on teaching you how to use essential oils for your health. And that is both at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Wednesday we're having Chef Sandy come in and teach Feliz Navidad from Mexico. And she's teaching Mexican Mexican menus. Friday evening from 6 to 7:30, we're having origami for the teens. Saturday morning at 10 is the Lego Club, and then we'll skip to next week. On Thursday, we're having the 19th is the Scrapbooking Club at 2 and at 6, and then that kicks off the Literacy Fundraiser and the events I told you about. And then one other thing, on Saturday the 21st, George Hakiatis will be in teaching teens electric circuitry. So the library is stacked almost every day with activities. If you're bored during this time of year or just need to get out of the house, please come see us.
Hey, you all do a great job programming.
And thank you.
Very, very thankful to have you there and your staff. I know you all do a fantastic job.
Appreciate the
service that you provide to our community. And I will say that I have a daughter getting ready to go to college, and everything you said about how confusing and overwhelming it can be, I will back you up on that. Absolutely. It is it's something. So I think that's a great addition to your normal offerings.
Thanks, Mike.
So and with that, Terry has already taken the microphone, so it looks like he's next. And Terry is here to give us an update on a couple of things that I think are pretty important to everyone in Bartlesville. One would be our water supply and where we are with that, dealing with the Corps of Engineers and trying to attain additional water supply off of Copan. And then also our our water reuse project.
All right. Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Mike. I didn't know if I was just here for eye candy or just to help with the overall look. But
everybody else wrapped up early, so I had to bring you off
the bench.
This
is the radio, so that's probably the right place for me to be eye candy
you
on.
And I,
so,
you and I right. have... You and I have a face for radio, my
yes,
friend.
Yes, we do. So let me kind of take the viewers back roughly about 20 years. But in 2001, we did have a prolonged drought that really kind of showed some vulnerabilities in our water supply, and especially during drought conditions. And so council at that time tasked or created a water resources committee, tasked them with finding additional water for our long supply needs. So they had contracted with the Corps of Engineers to do a study back in 2006 and 7 to look at what's the projected demand that we would need for over the next 30 to 50 years, and then where could be some options to secure additional water rights to meet those needs. And so what they came back with is to look at securing water from both Copan Lake and Hula Lake, and we have secured pretty much all the water that's available at Hula Lake, but we were looking at getting into what's called the flood pool, or the kind of the storage for flooding. And so there was some options that we could kind of look at pursuing. And when we started looking at pursuing those options, especially at Copan Lake, which there's water rights available today, the cost was really prohibitive. It didn't justify what we would have to spend or have our customers spend to secure that water. So that kind of was in the range of a roughly about $7 to $8 million to secure the water rights just on Copan Lake, which is available today. So then kind of in 2008, we started on the task of working with the Corps to see if we can get those water rates at Copan Lake a little bit more affordable for our customers. And so now we fast forward 10 years later. And
it was not a fast 10 years, by
no,
the way.
No, it wasn't.
A lot of steps along the way.
It wasn't. But in 2018... the president signed the 2018 Water Resources Development Act, which really specifically listed some pricing for water storage in the Verdigris Valley Basin. So that's the basin that Copan Lake's in that really we're served from. And it really stated that the a municipality can't pay more than 110% of what their last contracted or their last contract with the Corps for new water rights. So that was roughly about a $7 million save for us as far as the pricing goes.
And by us, of course, we mean the water customers of the city of Bartlesville.
That's right.
And even our Dewey. I mean, this affected the entire region.
It is, yeah. We do provide water for Dewey, for Oshelade, Ramona, roughly 7 water districts that surround us here. So we are truly a regional provider of drinking water. And so it has a big implication as far as the rates go and the savings that we're able to pass on or not charge, I guess, to the customers, right, in essence. So we are in the process of getting a contract prepared with the Corps of Engineers to ink that deal with Copan Lake and get that official. That WERDA bill does expire in December of 2020. So by December 2020, we will have some sort of agreement in place,
right,
that
under
secures
a little bit
that
of a time crunch. And I realize most people hear that and they think December 2020, that's a year away. It's plenty of time. But you and I have seen with federal agencies that occasionally it can take longer than a year. So we're working diligently to try to get that done well before then.
That is true. And it's been a long process, a long road. And there's light at the end of the tunnel, especially for Copan Lake. But we also had another source that came available to us in 2012, and that was really due to some droughts that the Oklahoma City area experienced and some long-term water planning that the state legislature was doing that just coincided with that. But in 2012, the state approved what they call the law for 2060, the water law for 2060. And so that was the goal, is to not consume any more fresh water in 2060 than we do in 2012. But really what that did is task the Department of Environmental Quality to develop regulations to facilitate water reuse. And so for Bartlesville, we have a unique scenario in that our wastewater plant is located within a quarter mile of the original water source for Bartlesville, which is there on the Caney River right next to Johnstone Park or the Kitty Park. And so we started looking at different options to look at an indirect potable reuse for Bartlesville. And one of those options that we ended up going with is to pump treated wastewater up on the Caney River about 7 miles, discharging it, letting it blend with the Caney River, and then reusing that water to treat and to send for drinking water through our Caney River pump station. So the benefit of this option is that it's all state controlled, it's state issue. So the time frame and the ability to work that through kind of the various regulatory approvals that are necessary is much quicker. And so we have actually received a permit to do the secondary discharge, is what the state is terming this secondary or this alternate source of water. So we are in the process of designing the pump station and pipeline to get the water to where it needs to be up on the Caney River. And we will be under construction by this time next year, hopefully probably by the late summer is when construction will start on the pump station pipeline to facilitate this other source of water. But the short story of it is that with the water rights at Copan Lake and the water resource, that should meet the water demands for us with a moderate growth for the next 50 plus years. So that's really been our planning windows for a 50-year window. And water reuse does provide us some flexibility to increase some of that yield or some of that water that we have available to us. So this truly is a long-term supply. It's a viable supply in the sense that wastewater has a very consistent flow to us as far as when the droughts are occurring. We know what's coming into the water plant or the wastewater plant, and we can predict that. So we have a very kind of robust water supply chain there that is really not just solely dependent on droughts and right. environmental conditions. So that's two of the things that the committee wanted to do, is to obviously secure additional water rights, but to help with the reliability of that during adverse economic or environmental conditions, and mainly drought. So we've kind of checked those two boxes. So now it's just a matter of getting it done.
Getting it all in place. And so how much water do we typically use now? I realize that varies considerably based on temperatures and rainfall, but for drinking water use and for domestic use, and so basically during the winter time, that'd be our baseline. About how much do we use then?
We use about 5.5 million gallons a day during the winter, and then in the summer that can go all the way up to, on an average, to about 8, 9, almost 10, depending on how hot it is. So we do have a lot of use because of landscaping and outside watering. So overall, an average is around 5.5 to 6 as far as once you kind of average that all out. But the water during the wintertime, I think I said 5.5. That's really 4.5. 4.5 million gallons a day.
And during that same period of time, about how much do we discharge from our wastewater system?
We discharge about 6 million gallons a day our wastewater system.
Actually, during a normal usage, we could actually supply basically 100% of the demand from our flows from our wastewater plant.
Right.
So the reuse project is really critical as far as our long-term water supply. The what we're doing with Copan also is very important, but the reuse, I think, as you said, that's something that we can accomplish almost on our own with just working through the state of Oklahoma, right. Which for if you've never had the honor of working through a federal agency to get approval for something, we much prefer to work with our state, the people in the state of Oklahoma, rather than going all the way up to Washington for some of these things.
We do.
In fact, the project we're working on right now in Copan will require approval from the highest authority in the Corps of Engineers, which I believe is the Assistant Secretary of the Army.
Yes.
So you can imagine that he's got a lot to do. So. Getting that all the way up to him is quite a process.
There's a lot of levels between us in that position.
Yes, there are, and we're very thankful to our local elected delegation who have assisted us to get this far. Senator Coburn, Senator Inhofe was very, very instrumental in getting us to this point. He not only authored the bill, but he has issued several letters that have assisted us. He has written letters directly to the Assistant Secretary of the Army on behalf of the city of Bartlesville. So we're very grateful. And Terry, I appreciate you giving that update on those things that I think are on everybody's mind. I know we talk about it every couple of months, but I think that, again, this is probably one of the most critical issues that we face. And Tom, we had a late question come in that was brought into the booth here, and it was, will the company provide containers for the recyclables? And I believe this is about Recyclops And they actually do provide bags is what they do. So when you sign up, I think it's $10 for 100 bags. So you have to buy the bags and pay the monthly fee. But they will actually provide those. So it won't be in a standard polycart similar to how we pick up your trash, but instead it'll be in a disposable recycling bag. So, but I appreciate whoever wanted to know that, because I'm sure if they wanted to, everybody else did as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for dropping by today. You've been listening to City Matters on KY.